In the second century, there was a theologian named Marcion who posited a dualistic worldview in which he said both evil and good have independent existence. Because of this belief, he posited that there was this God of the Old Testament that was an angry, wrathful God, or in today's words, mean. He said there was another God, the God of the New Testament, that was more powerful than the God of the Old Testament. And this God of the New Testament was about love and mercy and forgiveness. We can hear traces of Marcionism even today in our world. People will say, if God is all loving and all merciful, then why is there a hell? So on the Solemnity of Christ the King, where we honor and we boldly live out what we say every week in church, that this King will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, let's look at this question. Now, Marcion came to his conclusion by rejecting some of the writings in the biblical canon and by bringing other writings that the church had not taken into the canon, he brought those in. This practice is still with us today. You'll see people who want to overemphasize certain parts of the scriptures and kind of push other ones away or ignore them altogether. Today, we hear a lot about the love, mercy, and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. This is the good news. This is why you should be a Catholic Christian. This is why I became a Catholic priest. I wanted to dedicate my life to preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm sure most of you have seen an event, a sporting event or something, where someone's holding up a sign that says John 3:16. Anyone? Okay, wise guys, what does it say? What's John 3:16? The other masses didn't know that. I was like, really? God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Excellent. Keep going. What does it say next? If we keep going, that's the first part of John 3. That's 3:16a. Now we go to B, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but have life eternal. 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. 3:18. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. So yes, when we read the scriptures, we see God's love. We see him coming down to save us. But we also see the flip side. Because if you have to be saved from something, what is that something? That something is condemnation. That something is eternal punishment. Look at today's gospel. What does Jesus say to those on the left? He says, "Away with you, you accursed, because you didn't do the will of my Father." To those on the right, he said, "Come, come, you righteous, into eternal life." I'm having some fun with you guys. You guys aren't all damned over there. So we see the possibility of eternal punishment or hell comes right from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. When you go home as homework for not knowing the second part of John 3:16, and you read the entire New Testament, if you do it with a real fine eye, you're going to see that there's 160 references to hell and damnation. Because if Christ came to save us, what's he saving us from? That's it. If you have a real, real sharp eye, you're going to see that 70 of those references come directly from the lips of Jesus Christ. So Marcion and some people today have to read both sides of the story. Yes, there's love. Yes, there's forgiveness, but yes, there is condemnation. So how do we put these together? How do we put together hell with a loving and merciful God? Well, let's go back to Marcion. Marcion wanted to give, as I said earlier, both good and evil independent existence. We don't believe that as Catholic Christians. We believe, and I've got a prop. Nothing up my sleeves. If you were to say, this is a good piece of paper, it's 8.5 by 11, it's got everything you need, it's got a nice color, everything. This is a good piece of paper. So we start out with something that is good. Now, let me get some music. Just kidding. All right, hold on. Okay. Now we remove something from it. Well, what do we have? Is this still, if you didn't want a hole, if someone said, can I have a piece of paper to put in my printer to print, and they gave you this, what would you say? Ow, it's got a hole in it, right? Is there a hole in front of Father Jerome right now? The answer is no, right? Okay, good. What about now? So we start with something that is good. We start with something that's whole. Then something is taken away, right? That's what evil is all about. There is no such thing as independent evil. God made everything, so we have to start with something. Evil happens when something is removed from that goodness. We deprive something from it. We distort something from that goodness. So evil does not have its own independent existence. Now, I'm going to contradict myself, because in, you know, you go to St. Albert's in our school, they teach us all these high, you know, metaphysical things and theological things. There is something that theologians will posit has independent existence. You look at, and I'll share with you guys, you're a smarter congregation than most, right? So there's this phenomenon that we see in the world that you think of it and you're like, gosh, this is just pure evil. Not the devil, right? The devil was made by God, wonderful creature, but he fell from grace. But we look at the world and we say, how can this exist? How can an all-loving God allow this thing to exist? That phenomenon is the Boston Red Sox. Okay. So let's look at creation. In the book of Genesis, after God creates everything, what does he say? He said that it was good. So we human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, right? We are good. But from time to time, what do? We bring about evil into the world through our sins. So God, in his right, in his justice, could say, off to hell with you. But he didn't. He didn't say that. What did he do? Again, he sent his son so that our sins could be forgiven. Not only did he send his son, but that son was willing to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. So God went the extra 4,000 miles, if you will, so that we could be saved. So it's faith. It's our faith in Jesus Christ that saves us. It's that faith that allows us to enter into that relationship with God. So we need to preach that more. More and more people are walking away, haven't really heard the truth of Jesus Christ. They've heard part of it, but not all of it. So we have to redouble our efforts and talk to our loved ones. Talk to our family members who may have strayed from the faith. So what if they think you're a religious fanatic? So what if they get mad at you? So what if they cut you off for a while? If this is the greatest gift that we have, the gift of eternal life, then we have to be willing. We have to be willing to put ourselves out there and preach that gospel. Today's gospel says faith is wonderful, but then that faith must move us. Right? The goats were condemned because they didn't feed the hungry or clothe the naked or visit those who were sick or in prison. These people had faith. When they addressed God, they said, Lord. They were in this relationship with God, but they forgot the other part. Love God, but then also love neighbor as well. We see this in James's writing. James says, see how a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. James also writes, for just as the body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We can't work our way into heaven. Pelagius taught that in the early church and was condemned. We can't do that. We are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But that faith should transform us. That faith should say, yes, our Father who art in heaven. But if God is all of our fathers, then we are all brothers and sisters. And we are called to take care of one another. So if God is all loving and all merciful, then why do we still have a hell? The short answer is some people will choose it. Some people will not accept God's love. Some people will not accept God's mercy. Some people will not accept God's forgiveness. Think about John 6, the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus lays out his teaching, and we're told, some say, this is a hard saying, and they walk away. Some will not serve their neighbor. Think of the rich young man who comes up to Jesus and says, what do I have to do? I keep all the commandments. What more do I have to do? And Jesus says, go sell everything and give to the poor and then come and follow me. So hell is a reality because some people will choose it. But it's our job to preach both in our words and in our actions to show them that God is real, God is loving, God is merciful, and God wants to be in relationship with you. So today we're celebrating Christ the King, when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. It's an open book quiz. What's the book we need going to be quizzed on? If you don't know the book, you're never going to pass the test. What's the book? Good for you. Do you read it? You sure? Eternal life? Eternal death? Maybe some of those other books can go to the bottom of the pile and we'll elevate that one up again. And then we love our neighbors. We never have to be fearful of wrath. Because if we love God and love neighbor, then on Judgment Day, we'll hear those beautiful words. Come, come into eternal glory. Come, my faithful son. Come, my faithful daughter.